I want to greet you in Jesus' name tonight and tell you that it's been a joy to share part of this day with you here at this Bible school. And I appreciate the respectful way that you respond to your instructions, the beautiful relationship that you have with your teachers. And everyone here is for you. There's no one against you. And God is for us. He's not against us. He's against the wrong that we do, but he's not against us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loves us in this world where we are. Now, we don't have very much time to cover this material tonight, and I hope to not keep you very long, but I'd like you to open your Bibles to John chapter 3. We have here in this third chapter of John one of the most important Bible verses in all of the history of redemption. We find this in verse 3 of chapter 3, repeated again in verse 7. But I want to read this interview that Nicodemus has with Jesus here at nighttime. And then we want to draw some lessons from this, and I want it to be a help to your Christian life. If there's anyone here tonight that does not have Christian life, I at least want you to understand what it is, as simply as what we can explain it. And this may be a very simple message for you people here in the States. This is the way we preach in Costa Rica or in Latin America. I'm going to put an illustration on the blackboard. Because in Costa Rica, I try to help the people understand what we're talking about. Sometimes if they can see something, they get it a little bit better. So I don't do this to insult your intelligence, but at least you will find out this way how we teach in Costa Rica. And I hope that it'll be of help to you. And I hope this lesson is simple enough that everyone here can understand it, because it is so very, very important. And the truth is that here we have a very intelligent person in this passage, and he does not understand it. And we have the best teacher of all the earth teaching him, and he had trouble getting his pupil to understand it. And if Jesus, the teacher of teachers, the master teacher, had trouble getting this student, who was a master of the law, had trouble to get him to understand this lesson, then I don't know what I'm going to be able to do to get you to understand it. But let's keep it as simple as we can and see if we can understand. Now, the Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So you see what his focus was on. He was talking rabbi to rabbi, teacher to teacher. He was talking about someone who maybe was just a bit beyond him in some of the things that he was able to do, and it got this Nicodemus' attention. But Jesus does not focus on that. Let's see what Jesus says. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it cometh or whither and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we know and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. We could read further there, but maybe that's far enough for tonight. But we have these thoughts here in verse 3 and in verse 7. And in your English Bible, it says you must be born again. Now, it might be interesting for you to know that not all languages say that. Our Spanish Bible does not say that. It says something different. Now, the reason why there's a difference is because of what Greek says. And I'm not going to burden you with foreign languages tonight, but I want you to at least put this concept into your mind, that what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus here is that you must be born from above. I'm going to write that on the board here. Born from above. There it says born again. It just so happens that the Greek word that's used there is translated several different ways in your Bible. It's translated above on quite a few occasions. It's translated again two times in this passage, in verses 3 and in verse 7. But the word is oftentimes translated above in your Bible. There is a place in your Bible that does talk about being born again or being reborn. And I'm going to read that to you in 1 Peter in chapter 1. And actually, it's in that chapter two times. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Hath begotten us again unto a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If you get down to verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. That's how this birth takes place. By the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now, when you were born, you had no choice in the matter. You didn't make a decision. You didn't say, well, listen, I want to be born to the Hostetler home. I want to be born to the Mast home. I want to be born to the Troyer home. You didn't decide that. You didn't decide whether you would be born a boy or a girl. You didn't make that decision. You didn't decide you were going to be born in the United States of America instead of be born in Nigeria. You didn't decide that. You were born. And there is a sense in which you and I can't do verse 3 or do verse 7. It says we must be. But there's something here in verse 3, verse 7 that we cannot do. We cannot birth ourselves. We cannot even spiritually birth ourselves. You can't make up your mind tonight. Listen. It says here that I must be born from above. I must be born into that heavenly kingdom. I must be born again by the word of God. I must be begotten by the living God. I must become a child of God. I must become born of God. I must become born from above. I must become born of a new kingdom. Now, the Bible tells us that there's only one that can beget us, and that is God. God must be our begotten. We must be the begotten of our Father. God must do that. And God will do that. And in certain conditions, God longs to do it, and is anxious to do it, and waiting to do it, and wants to do it. And he is very, very willing to do it. But God must do it. And no one here can birth themselves. You couldn't do it physically, you can't do it spiritually. What did the angel tell Mary? The angel told Mary something very, very beautiful. And what the angel told Mary must happen to each one of us. It must happen to me. It must happen to all of us. I'm going to read this to you. Sounds like this. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That must happen to everybody that's in this audience. It must happen to all of your brothers and sisters, your parents. It must happen to all of us. The Holy Ghost must come upon us. The power of the highest, the Most High, as we had this morning, shall overshadow us. And then that holy thing which is born in us, that holy birth that takes place in us, that holy Lamb of God which is born and birthed in our hearts, that divine life which is born in here, is because God has done something very, very holy in our lives. That must be the experience of each one that is here tonight. Now this whole matter of being born again, or being born from above, is an interesting study. And the Spanish, our Spanish Bible goes about halfway between those two words. Born from above, born again. And our Spanish Bible says born anew. That's what our Spanish readers find when they read their Bible. Born anew. A new kind of birth. A birth that we have not experienced. And sometimes we call that in English the new birth. That comes very close to Spanish. The new birth. Born anew. Nacido de nuevo. Born anew. Beautiful phrase in that language. It has a lot of power and meaning to our Spanish people. But Jesus taught that we should be born from above. And before we can see the kingdom of God, as it tells us here in this third verse, we must be born from above. Except a man be born anew, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see it. And then verse 7 says, ye must be. It has to happen. Ye must be born again, or born from above. And this is a birth that requires the Spirit of God to do it in our lives. I want to show you this word above. And then we'll go to the blackboard and help you get this into your minds. Look at verse 31 of this same third chapter. We have the same word here that we have in verse 3 and verse 7. Translated again in those two verses, translated above in verse 31. It's the exact same word in Greek. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. There the word's in that verse three times. The word translated again. Born from this above. Born from this place where Jesus descends from. Jesus comes from there. And Jesus is born there. Jesus comes from there. And where he comes from and what he represents, is what we must be born into. We must be born that way. That is the way that it is. From the heavens. Let's go to John chapter 8. Very graphic here. Very easy to see this difference, so that you can understand what we're talking about. Chapter 8, verses 23. Verse 23, we'll just read that verse. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. And this is a very, very interesting verse, because Jesus says to these people, you are from the world. That's where you're from. And they could look at him and they could say to him, okay, tell us, where are you from? And he says, you're from the world. So they say, okay, where are you from? And Jesus answers this question in the negative. He doesn't tell them where he's from. He tells them where he's not from. You're from this world, I'm not from the world. He told Pilate, your kingdom is of this world, my kingdom is not of this world. He didn't say what it was from. Pilate wouldn't have understood it. But when Jesus says, I'm from above, I'm not from beneath, you're from the world, I'm not of the world, we must get an understanding of what this above is that he's talking about. Where is Jesus from? And where Jesus is from, that is where we must be born. Our birth must happen there. Our birth must come from there. Our birth must relate us to there. Our birth must identify us with there. Our birth must link us with there. Wherever Jesus is from. And you see what happens immediately when that is the nature of the birth. You see that does something very, very unique about us. And if you want to understand why Jesus on this earth lives so differently from everybody else, it's because he was not from here. He was from there. He was from above and the rest were from beneath, but he was from here. And the reason why he was in this earth but so different was because his birth was from another place. And before we go any further, that should help you understand why a Christian is the way a Christian is. Why a Christian is so different from this world. Why his whole nature, his whole life, his whole birthing His whole history, his whole heritage is different. He's from above. You can't find my name in a Hostetler book. That's a great big thick book. My name's not in there. It's in another book. It's in another book. And then we live like it. You know, we live like our origin. I can't hide the fact that I'm from Costa Rica. I can't hide that we've adopted that as our home. I cannot hide that. It just shows up here and there. Things we say, things we do, the language we use, it shows up. We can't hide it. And because we can't hide where our home is. We cannot hide it. John chapter 19. This word above, born from above. I'm trying to get this thought into our hearts. Verse 11, 19:11. Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Jesus is talking to Pilate here. You couldn't do this. Unless power was given to you as an earthly ruler, power was given from above, you couldn't do it. The power must come from above. Pilate didn't understand that. He thought it came from Rome. He thought it came from Caesar. He thought the power of what he was doing, this judicial decision he was making there in the praetorium, he thought that was from Caesar he got that power. And Jesus is saying, unless that power was given to you from above, you couldn't do it. And 3 days later, that was proven on Easter morning. It was proven that the power was from above. It was proven what Pilate could do. And it was there was a great limit put on what Pilate could do. And a great limit put on what the soldiers could do. And a great limit put on what Satan could do that day. Because the power must come from above. That's the way it is in your life and in my life. Now the brother read from the book of James. And I'm going back to chapter 1. Again, where we had just been reading. To James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. It is from above. You and I must be born from above. James chapter 3, verse 15. Look at this verse. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensually, devilish. That wisdom did not come from above. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above. And look what it's like. When a person is born from above, look what it's like. When this power of God comes upon us and we are birthed into that new kingdom of God, look what happens. It is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace because they're born from above. I just want you to look at those very, very beautiful verses. Born from above. Let's look at it here on the board graphically. Can you see that? There are people way, way back there. Can you see this board all right? Way, way back there. Can you see it? Brother Steve, can you see it back there? You ladies in the back, can you see the board here? Thank you. Thank you, girls. This is above. This is beneath. This is a kingdom here. There's a kingdom here. This is the kingdom of this world. This is the earthly kingdom. This is the world. This is the kingdom of God. And I want you to notice on this chart that the kingdom of God intersects with the kingdom of this world. And these two are on the earth at the same time. These two cross over and are coexistent in the earth right now. There is both the kingdom of this world right here where we are tonight, and there's the kingdom of heaven right here where we are tonight, and these two are coexistent. They are together here in this earth at this present time.
And I want to show this to you more graphically. Keep your eyes on the blackboard. And I'll show you how this works. Right here is where the kingdom of this of heaven begins on the earth. The cross of Calvary happens right here. The resurrection. The day of Pentecost. The coming of the Holy Spirit. The birth of the church. The birth of new life. The breathing of God upon mankind. The birthing of God in the hearts of men. It starts happening here. And keeps on happening until here. What is that? A trumpet. And these two kingdoms remain coexistent until the trumpet sounds. And when the trumpet sounds, this kingdom is done. And the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And there's judgment upon this. It's the end of it. These kingdoms are destroyed. And we have between here and here, we have in this little space of time, we have in this little parenthesis between eternity to make a decision. And we have this amount of time to become born from above. This limited amount of time that we have between here and here. And now if you would come up to this board, and if I would give you this piece of chalk, and I would tell you to put a dot on this chart where we are tonight, 2014, the 15th of January. Where would you put the dot? Would it be down here somewhere? Would it be here in the middle? Would it be so close to this line that you can hardly distinguish it from the chalk that's already there? And this trumpet is soon going to sound. And then this kingdom is over. And only those who are born from the new kingdom, born from above, are going to be part of the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And Christ came to translate us from one kingdom and put us into the other kingdom. And that is very clearly said for us in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That's what Christ came to do. That's what Christ came to offer. And He came to Nicodemus to tell him that story. And Nicodemus could not understand it. Now I want to make just a little contrast, if I may. This is just slightly doctrinal here for just a few minutes. Maybe it's not worth that much to you. I'm going to try to explain this to you as I understand it. There's a little bit of difference in understanding. If you look at this birthing into the kingdom of God, if you look at it as being born again, or if you look at it as being born from above, it does have a doctrinal implication the way you understand it. And so I want us to understand it as being born from above. That's what the chart is for. That's why we read the verses we read tonight where these words are translated above in other places in your New Testament. I wanted to do that because the idea of being birthed from above is a very important understanding, and I want us to have it. We see when we talk about being born again, that does not mean another time or another birth. It has a different meaning from that. And so when we talk about being born again, it might give the idea that it's not only this one, it's also that one. It's this birth and that birth. That is not the meaning. What it's talking about is a completely different thing, new thing, something that's never happened to us before that must happen. It's a being born, it's a being birthed from above. With somebody else doing the birthing. Other power coming upon us. Another birth being performed. by a heavenly Father, being born from above, means a complete separation from this kingdom beneath. When we're born from above, it's a completely new identification. There's a complete severance with what was united before, with our first birth. And Jesus mentions to Nicodemus when he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again, verse 7. Don't marvel at that. I said, look at your life, look at my life tonight, just look at it. And look at what in my life is born of the flesh. Look at what is fleshly in my life. Look at what is carnal in my life. Look at what is sensual in my life. Look at the things in my life that come from below, as James chapter 3 says. And they don't come from above. This wisdom that is not from above, that's from below. This contention. This fault-finding spirit. This partiality. Look at the things that are from below that are in my life. And why are they in my life? Because they were born here. That which is born of this kingdom stays here. It stays this way. It does not change. You don't convert carnality. You don't convert contention. You don't convert a wrong and prideful spirit. We must be born to something else. Mud puddle. Do you have mud puddles in Missouri? She told me, she said, I got to take the car to drive down here because she said the road's muddy. That's what she told me. You get the car and drive down to the Bible school because the road's muddy. So I drove down the first time I came down here. Sure enough, there was puddles of slop and mud along the road right where the tire track's supposed to go. Bunch of mud. Said, look at this filth and mud in your highway out here. And there's this muddy water and the drops are all dirty. And you wouldn't put a soda straw down in there and drink out of any one of those puddles. Why? Because they're earthly and they're sensual and they're devilish and they're dirty. Because they're from this earth. Now wait a minute. All you do is you get that Missouri sun to come up in the morning. See, the east is over here, right? You bring that sun up over there and shine down in that mud puddle. What happens? And that water evaporates. Comes up out of there. You say, hey, the puddles are dried up. Well, what happened to them? Well, the water's up here. That water was born from above. What do you have in that water? You have perfectly sterile water. Perfectly pure water. It's up there floating and forming a big cumulus cloud up there, going across, going out there towards the west. Or wherever direction your clouds go around here. And when that water drops down, you can drink any bit of it you want to fill your soul with the refreshing dews of heaven. It's perfectly clear water. And why is it clear what happened to it? One day it was down here in this filthy pool down here. One day it was down there in that mud. And what happened to it? It was born from above. And when there's carnality in my life and sensuality in my life, you can rest assured it's that way because it was born here. And the way to change is not try to shift this thing around somehow, try to change myself. You don't fix that water down. You'll fix that mud puddle out there in the highway by putting Clorox in it. You fix it by transforming it. And lifting it up above there. Making something brand new out of it. It's the same water. Completely changed. Born from above. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, it must happen to you. This birthing from above. And this evil that's in our heart. And this resistance against authority. And this inclination towards showing off in Bible school. You know where that comes from? It's the earth. It was formed here and born here. And I pity you. It's not even your fault. That's the only thing you can do. You take a show off and try to tie his hands behind his back and see if you're going to get him to quit. You take a show off and you put him in some handcuffs. See if that's going to fix it. It won't fix it. Put a bunch of laws on him. Give him a whipping. Expel him from Bible school. Send him back home to his parents. See if that fixes it. It won't fix it. The pool's as muddy as ever was, with probably a whole dose of resentment put on top of it, which makes it worse yet. It was born from a different source, with a different set of values, with a different kingdom, with a different love, with a different affection, with a different set of values. That's what's called, that's what it means to be born from above. You see, being born again, I hope that does just sound like a religious experience to your mind. Just something had happened, something that now was done. It happened over here. But being born from above is different. It's a change of life. It's something that not only happened, but the results of it continue and continue and continue. All of the lifetime. You know, the word metanoa is a word that's not found in the Gospel of John anytime. It's a word that's translated repentance in your Bible. That word is not found in the Gospel of John. John never uses that word. He uses the word believe 99 times, never uses the word repentance. But the word metanoa means a complete change of the mind, which is not that you were planning to go east and you decided to change your mind and go west. You were going to wear a blue dress, turn your mind, change your mind this evening, and decide to wear a lavender one.